This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, anyone know what channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Right, a question. 206-803-ROCK.
Just want to point out, based on the texts that are coming in, anyone listening to this show apparently has stolen something from a restaurant or a bar. My God, it has turned into a confessional here. Like, we need to bring a priest in to read through all these things.
Yes.
Old Spaghetti Factory, really? My mom would steal the doilies.
Oh, the doilies.
Well, no, I don't remember the doilies at the old Spaghetti Factory.
I guess they were that nice.
I had them.
I thought it was going to be the little ice cream cups that they serve. Those little metal ones.
I would steal those.
Hell yeah.
Our friend Dick at Crucible Brewing, he texted me to say, it's funny you guys are talking about this. Keep this in mind. So he had Crucible Brewing pint glasses. All right. He lost $1,000 worth of glasses on the opening weekend. Mm-hmm. I thought he was going to say over the course of the brewery. Like, no, opening weekend. $1,000 worth of glasses. I'm telling you, don't put the name of your bar on the glasses.
Oh, I might have been at a neighbor's party not too long ago, and they were they're being like fancy, you know? And
I was
like,
all right.
So they're making all these mixed drinks, and they had all the tools and bartender stuff, the shakers out. They had
you stole from your neighbors?
No, I didn't steal anything from them. They were making Moscow Mules. And I said, man, you got the actual Moscow Mule glasses. And my buddy's girlfriend says, yeah, I get one every once in a while. They live together, and it's all there. So they think that the nice little metal ones.
Yeah, the copper ones.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, technically, right, it's supposed to be served in a copper cup.
Well,
and a lot of bars are doing that now because the Moscow Mule, for whatever reasons, made a comeback. So I'll see it show up at various bars, and I keep thinking, like, it's copper, man.
Oh, she's got them. But that's an issue, is that people steal those.
Yeah, people steal copper anyway, right? So if you're going to hand them a copper mug, there was a bar, I will not say where, but it's a place I've been 86 from, but they had a fire, and then when I was still living across the street from it, they put the place back together. And the last thing they had to do, they even had the sign, like, opening next week, whatever. Last thing they had to do was put up a gutter system outside. They had done everything inside and repainted it, put in all new glass, all this stuff. On three separate occasions, the copper gutters were stolen off the outside of the building before they could open. Finally, one day, we see the truck drop off just the aluminum ones, and those were fine.
Gave it up.
Yeah, but once you drop all these copper gutters out there, I mean, The first two times they were stolen off the property, the third time they were physically taken off of the building.
They changed the inside of that place.
Did they?
Yes. Because when I walked in, I was like, this is not the same layout.
Huh.
The fire probably explains that.
That would get, I've not been there since the fire. Does it?
It does.
All right, I can go back in. Random,
ironically, random, the new owners drink at our establishment.
Random, really?
Yeah.
I'll talk to them. That's good. The reason I got 86, I did not realize I was having a conflict with the owner. I just thought I was having a conflict with a patron. The music stopped at the worst possible time versus what came out of my mouth.
I know.
I remember everyone looked at me, and I'm trying to play it cool, and I was hammered. I remember I looked at the bartender and trying to, because I don't know what else to do. So I said, I'll take another pint. And she didn't say anything. She just slowly shook her head no. And kind of that sad, like, I can't do that for you. Yeah, I was not invited back. But new ownership, I'll check it out. All right.
I would laugh if, like, oh, no, they told us about you, though.
Oh, damn.
Your picture's still up.
Yeah. Hello, Jason. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch, hola.
Hola. Jason, welcome to the program. And the random question.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, man. Thanks for calling. Okay. Since we're talking about things we've stolen from restaurants, how about we just stick with the food category? What is a food that most people love that you just don't get? It's not that you hate it. It's just like, it's okay.
Right.
I mean, just not something you would take or order or buy.
I would say first, anything my wife cooks, because she doesn't listen to the program, so I'm going with that one.
All right. But, all right. How long have you been married to her?
Oh, this is going on 5 years.
Okay. And there's just nothing that she can make where you're like, all right.
Not one good dish.
No, she cooks good. I'm just messing with her. No, but I would say when I was living in South Korea, kimchi, they love that kimchi over there. I couldn't get near it with a 10-foot pole. It was horrific. No, thank you.
And, of course, Seattle's one of those places like, well, I'm learning to make my own.
Cool.
Yes.
Great.
I like kimchi.
I don't mind kimchi.
I like
kimchi,
sauerkraut, too, so it's not that far off.
Right. They all kind of work together. What else in South Korea were you kind of like, no, thank you?
Man, I remember I was walking home one time, and I had to walk past, like, a fish market thing, and they would always try to sell me, like, a full fish on a stick, and it would have the eye on it, or, like, the head with the fish, and the eye would be looking at you. I'm like, I'm good, man. I come from Washington. You get good, like, salmon or whatever up there. I don't want your fish on a stick.
So you won't need a whole fish, man?
Like a whole grilled trout.
No, man, I'll eat trash out of a can before I eat that.
Because there are typical fish that you eat, like a red snapper. That's not uncommon to be grilled whole.
Is it because the head is still there and that eyeball is, in fact, looking at you?
Well, then, when I was in Iraq, I got really bad food poisoning because we ate some goat on the economy. And so, I'm not eating anything on a stick unless it comes from, like, 7-Eleven, and it's before 11 in the morning.
All right.
And it has to be put out fresh. I'm good.
How about American food? Is there any food in America that people love that you just not really are into?
Well, I work at a middle school now, so anything on the middle school lunch, I don't touch.
See, what are they serving? So I'm assuming they still have pizza days, tater tot days. What else are they serving up?
Oh, my man. So they serve, these kids get a selection nowadays, a selection of crap, but it's still a selection. I give a shout out to Michelle Obama for helping us with that. But anyway, no, they don't do the square pizza anymore. It's all, they get triangle pizza every day, but it tastes like cardboard, man. I want the square stuff, you know, it's not good.
All right. Okay, look, my kid was in Children's Hospital here in Seattle for a while. They have, their cafeteria there is, you know, they do have adult foods.
Of course.
But when you go over to where the kids' food is, like, this is where you're filling up your plate.
Oh, for sure. All the chicken fingers
pizza,
and all that.
Chicken fingers, macaroni and cheese. There is an ice cream station over there. There's pizza. There is pasta, fettuccine.
I did that a few times on the cruise, man. There's
garlic bread.
You go on this cruise, and when they set up their buffet, I mean, it's no joke. It's like everything you want. They got the chefs back there carving up meat. They have this nice seafood selection. And I did that a few times. But I realized there weren't a ton of kids on the cruise. But when you saw them, they always hovered in what clearly was the kids section. So the one time I went down there, this is lunch, not dinner. I'm cutting through there, and I'm like, I'm in the mood for a hot dog. Right? There's all this really good stuff. I understand that, but, like, sometimes you just want a hot dog.
Mm-hmm.
So I grabbed two hot dogs, and I grabbed a slice of pizza, and had, like, four chicken fingers. And everyone's sitting around me, of course. They have their gourmet, whatever the hell. I'm telling you, I was happier than them. Like, my plate was clean, and it was bottomless.
Ted, you're going to hate my unpopular, but I have some very unpopular food opinions.
I've done it with a kids' menu before.
At the restaurant?
Right. Well, just for myself. Was getting takeout. I'll just say it was Red Robin. And they have some things like mini corn dogs, like a child, like kid size. And I was like, well, I don't want a whole order of them. I'll just get a kid's meal along with my burger.
Dude, Red Robin, by the way, according to the site, great place to steal from. I just stole the Red Robin seasoning last week. Everyone needs one of those in the cupboard at home. The next text that comes in, stole the strawberry lemonade glass from Red Robin in 8th grade. My sister snitched on me to the waitress. Waitress smiled, told me she does it all the time, and walked away.
Hmm. Okay.
Red Robin seasoning every time. My God.
I do not like food in bowls unless it's supposed to be in a bowl. Jambalaya, it can be served in a bowl. Gumbo can be served in a bowl. You know, all those things. But if it's a poke bowl or a KFC bowl or it's just a bunch of food.
I like a burrito bowl sometimes.
A burrito bowl. I don't like burritos either. I don't like
wraps. Okay, I don't like a burrito. Yeah. You're not going to like a burrito bowl. That's for sure.
But the uncomfortable or just the unpopular opinion is I just don't. The burrito's too much for me.
Really?
So I'm not into breakfast burritos. I'm not into dinner burritos or bowls.
I like a good burrito. I like how they've taken everything I want to eat and they just wrap it up in one handheld thing. You know what I mean?
And people, correct.
The bowl, the poke bowls, I'm just like, look, it's deconstructed sushi. To me, it's the equivalent of an artisan pizza. Like, look, we haven't found anyone that can throw a circular pizza. Mm-hmm. Somebody's called an artisan and put garbage on it. That, to me, is an artisan pizza. Right. The poke bowl, I'm like, man, you have all the ingredients I want.
I just don't
want
to
wrap
bowl.
It up.
Right. Well, I like a chimichanga at a Mexican restaurant, which is
you don't like a burrito, but you eat
it's a deep fried burrito.
It's the same thing.
I know that. But if for whatever reason, chimichanga, meat, we're cool. Burrito? No, never would order one.
That's so weird.
Actually, I don't like them wet. I don't like them dry.
If I go to a Mexican restaurant every time, I would say like the French dip for me is like the test of sandwiches. It's always enchiladas verde. That'd always be my first go-to.
Yeah, sometimes when I go to Chipotle, I just prefer a bowl.
All right.
But I do like a good burrito.
Today, the reason we're asking is
you know what? I say it all the time. If you wrap anything in one of the stupid spinach tortillas, I'll eat it.
It is I Hate Cilantro Day.
Okay.
In case you didn't know. It's coriander, but it's a food some people love, some people hate, and there's a genetic thing where it can taste like soap for certain people. And 13% of us basically say they just can't stand it. It has a different taste in their mouth.
It does.
So in the spirit of that, they ask people, what is a food that people love that you hate? And here are the top five most popular foods that people said. Ramen. Most people said, I don't get going out for ramen or for pho. It's just not something that I enjoy.
I enjoy ramen. Like, you don't... In my experience, having ramen outside of my home tastes pretty much the same as what I have at home. Except it costs me 59 cents.
I'm with the pho thing. I don't get it.
Really?
But I also am rarely going to go out for a soup. You got to be a specific ass soup, and I don't know. I've tried it a couple times. Like,
it's
right.
Typically what people do in a group, and they're doing the hangover thing.
Like, right? I don't want soup normally, but if you have French onion, I'll eat it. But I'm eating something else with it. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, I will make that my meal.
Burritos show up, as does popcorn. People do not like popcorn.
How can you not like popcorn? That doesn't make sense to me.
That one blew my mind. Sushi. I can understand that.
I understand. I like it, but I definitely get why certain people don't.
Well, when people come out to visit, it's stark. I've got a couple of relatives and friends that the first thing they do is like, hey, man, I'm in Seattle. We got to go get sushi because the sushi here is fantastic.
And that's a good sign.
And then if someone will come into town and I'll recommend, hey, man, if you've never had sushi here, we need to go. It's great. You know, go down to Japanese or whatever. Oh, no, I'm not doing that.
I don't need raw fish.
My favorite is, what's your favorite kind? I mean, you know, if you're going to get a roll or anything, like, I don't eat raw fish. Okay, well, what have you tried? I've never tried raw fish.
Right.
So now we're in that conversation where I feel like I'm talking to a 7-year-old. Like, how do you know that you don't like it if you've never tried it?
Right. Well,
I just don't want to risk dinner on it. They have other things. No, man, that's just not for me. I don't like the smell of those places. Have you ever been to a sushi place? No.
Right.
I'm just like,
It doesn't smell like fish. If it does, it's the worst sushi place on earth.
You don't want to go there. Number one is cheeseburgers. People hate cheeseburgers.
Huh. I'm going to eat a cheeseburger.
That's weird.
I just read today that the cheeseburger came about because they had hamburgers, like 1926 or something. And the guy that had this restaurant, his hamburgers were fairly new at this point as far as feeding them to the general public. And it was the owner's 16-year-old son. Threw a slice of cheese on top of the patty, melted it, ate it, and was like, Dad, telling him this is dynamite. Dad takes a bite. So they called him cheese hamburgers. And there was the cheeseburger. 16-year-old kid.
Who's going out order? I said this to my buddy the other day. Who's ordering hamburgers?
A plain hamburger? I don't know anybody that does that.
But it's weird because if I'm grilling burgers at my house, I will say, who wants cheese? Who doesn't? But I'm just thinking about it. Like, I guess you go to McDonald's. Like, I don't know. It just seems like people always get a cheeseburger.
My daughter's the only person I know, but her eating habits are what they are. So she almost doesn't count as far as that goes. But she just wants a hamburger.
Okay.
She likes cheese. She likes hamburgers for whatever reason.
Has she ever had a cheeseburger?
Yeah, she's had a cheeseburger. She does not hate them. But if we say, hey, we're going to grab burgers, the only specification she makes is, hey, just no cheese.
What does she get on?
Ketchup.
That's it.
We are done.
I've been there, though. When I was a kid, I was the same way. I didn't like cheese on my burgers.
Were you when you got... She's 14 and a half, man. I get it when you're a little kid.
I feel like I switched up right around 16. Like, I I was a pretty staunch hamburger-only guy for a hot minute there.
Did your parents ease you? I feel like when I was real little, right, maybe 5 or 6, my dad would go to McDonald's, come home. I had hamburgers, and my brother had cheeseburgers. And then it's like, I don't know, I can't explain it. For whatever, you hit a certain age, like suddenly at 8 or 9, like, okay, you're ready to be a young man and have cheese and on your frickin' burger.
And if there's bacon available, of course.
Oh,
it's
God,
always
going
to be a bacon cheeseburger, especially if I'm in a tavern or a bar.
Yes,
I don't get bacon as much as like McDonald's or whatever. But if you're in a bar, if you're in some place that's making their own hamburgers,
absolutely,
I want a bacon cheeseburger.
So I go to Red Mill.
Oh, it's
specifically
great
for
bacon.
If they even said, "Hey, we ran out of bacon," I might go somewhere else. Which is no insult to the burger or their cheeseburger, but it's like I'm here for the whole kit and caboodle, brother. I need bacon and that burger.
Burger they have with an Anaheim pepper is fantastic too. That would be the last one you'd think to order, but that thing is. I mean, that Anaheim pepper is.
I think it's
amazing.
Weird too. Like as you get older, like.
I still thoroughly enjoy just like a plain burger from Dick's or McDonald's.
Sure.
But like if I make a burger at home, we got to have lettuce and red onion and pickles.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I chop up onion. That's my big thing. How do you feel about mustard on your burger?
I love it. I go ketchup, mustard, onion, lettuce, pickles.
That's why I like a Burger King. They tend to put a little bit more mustard.
My son is like, dude, I will throw hands if you put mustard on my burger. He thinks mustard is the most disgusting thing in the world.
Oh, that's the condiment I probably use the most.
Absolutely. He'll eat anything. He'll try anything. For whatever reason, mustard is his absolute no.
Even like, if I make a turkey sandwich at home, one slice will get mayonnaise, or one bread will get mayonnaise. The other will get like Dijon.
That is the perfect combination for your turkey sandwich. Hello, Vern. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola. Vern, welcome to the program.
How are you doing?
Turn your radio down there, Vern.
It's not the radio, it's
his phone. Oh, is it your
phone? Oh, sorry. I got the Bluetooth on. Let me turn that off.
Gotcha. No problem.
There. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we got you.
All
right. Hello? Let's go. Yeah, you got it?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. How about this one? Now, what would you say? What natural disaster would you not want to have to deal with? Tornado, hurricane, tsunami, flooding, volcanic eruption, earthquake? Is there one in particular that you would just rather not have to deal with?
That's so crazy you asked that because I was watching this thing on TV the other day, and it would totally either be a tsunami or a volcano eruption.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
I think those are fair.
I think it's hard to argue that.
Well, just
the devastation. With the volcano, if it was like Mount St. Helens, the documentary was on Pompeii or whatever, and they were literally like suffocated with ash.
But now keep in mind, one thing about Pompeii, and yeah, they absolutely were suffocated and buried with ash. They also, at the time, it's not like it just blew one day. I mean, it did, but they had months of warning, but pre-science. I mean, throw another virgin in the ocean or something like that.
They didn't even know it was a volcano.
Well, that's my point. Yeah. They're like the ground's rumbling.
Either did they with St. Helens.
But they don't know. And then when it blows, and by then, it's too late. But
it wasn't that they didn't know. I'm just saying that they always label those things dormant. And for me,
but at least that does not mean that. They had scientists that said, okay, it's not anymore. It's going to like blow. It's going to blow soon, and if you would like to leave, this would be a good time. Pompeii, but it's like, man, the ground keeps shaking. What's up with that? Like, I don't know. Sacrifice a virgin.
Well, we had an earthquake last week.
That one yesterday in Armour.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, I'm watching the news last night. So we'd heard about off the coast of Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And so I'm watching the news last night, and they got to preface it with, the Pacific Northwest has been rocking and rolling. And I'm like, dude, it was in Vancouver. And Auburn, a 3.6. I was like, oh, okay, well, that's different.
Yeah. Reason we asked about natural disasters, they say over the last 8 centuries, a huge underwater volcano 300 miles off the coast of what's now Oregon has erupted dozens of times. And its last outburst registered a decade ago. Now researchers saying that another eruption is going to happen soon from the massive axial seamount. Though they stress that we don't really have to worry about it too much in terms of danger, but we could, depending on the tsunami warning. If you're in a boat right over it, you probably would never know it's erupting, as there's no way that it affects the ocean surface. But they said the volcano and its peak is still 4,500 feet, or almost a mile underwater.
Damn.
So it's down there.
So I could be on a boat over top of this and have no idea. Yeah.
but they have been keeping tabs on it, and it's said to be the most active submarine volcano in the Pacific, and that its magma reservoir, about a mile underneath the mountain's caldera, has been slowly filling up since 2015. It is basically inflating like a balloon, which is when they know. When the mountain starts to bulge,
that's a sign, yes.
Whether it's above land or underwater, it's probably going to blow. And if and when it does finally erupt, and that process could take weeks or even months, the lava that emerges out of the resulting fissure will cool more quickly than it would on the surface because it's down there in the colder water, and that's known as pillow lava. But there's a chance that this thing could actually erupt a little bit stronger. For context on what a lot stronger means, the 2015 eruption expelled 5.5 billion cubic feet of lava.
Damn.
The eruption will give researchers the chance to carry out observations. They got a bunch of seismic stuff on the floor and crap like that. But they're saying it's inevitable. The thing's going to blow. Whether it causes a tsunami or not, they don't know.
Well, if you're saying it's no danger and you wouldn't know it if it did, like, then why bring it up?
Yeah, why are you telling us?
Yeah, well, man.
If you're above it, it's not going to hurt you. But when that wave takes off
right,
the bottom of the ocean floor, it could eventually reach the beach.
Good.
Right, but I mean, a tsunami is one of those things, like, you get the warning, you leave. Like, you don't really prep for a tsunami.
No, but you kind of got to be ready.
That's true. Just drop what you're doing and go. Yep.
More of the random question coming up, 206-803-ROCK.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK.
Coming up, it's 4:30. Your guess is as good as mine. The categories today, we have the 10 most popular languages around the world. And the 10 worst drivers based on the brand of car they drive.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So it's going to be driving and languages coming up at 4:30 with your guess is as good as mine. In the meantime, it is our random question, 206-803-ROCK.
By the way, just so you know, the text is still rolling in about what people have stolen from restaurants. I like to steal sushi dipping plates. They make great cat treat dishes. How many of those do you need? You're right. Just wondering. I feel like one would be enough.
Cat treat? I just threw the treats on the floor.
Yeah, it's generally how that works with me.
I didn't know they needed a special dish.
My cat is not too finicky when it comes to that. You got a treat? Drop it on the floor. Drop it on the floor, homie.
Just give it to me.
Hello, Paul. Welcome to the men's room.
Random. Hola.
Hola.
Paul, welcome to the program. Random question. All right, Paul, let's go with this one. Random. What would you say that you never put 100% effort into? Or maybe you do half-assed? What do you never give it your all on?
Man. My taxes.
Your taxes. Why is that? Well, you know, on the one hand, I've said this for years. Like, look, here's the beauty of taxes. If you F it up, they'll correct it for you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I make sure the basic stuff is right and that I'm not, like, way under-reporting anything. But there's probably like a dollar here or there either way that, you know, something that you're missing. But I'm like, really, do I want to spend another couple hours digging around trying to find that?
I mean, I know it sounds stupid, but I agree with you. It's like, look, man, I'm not trying to get over on anybody. Done our taxes. Yeah. But I'm like, the point is, if you do it, even if they owe you more, they will let you know, right? So I'm always like, look, if you guys already know all this, why do we have to file the tax? I get it if you own your own business, if you're a subcontractor, right? There's weird little subgenres, but for people like, I have a job,
right?
I got kids, this is what it costs, here's my crap, I assume it's on the right line, and if it's not,
exactly. You
guys correct it for me.
Paul, I went to a couple weeks ago into H&R Block and got my taxes done. I think it was on a Friday afternoon. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Monday rolls around. I don't think I checked the mail on Saturday. But either way, I swear to God, I have every single thing I need. And as soon as I do these taxes, there are two more tax forms that come in on Monday. And I'm just like,
are you kidding?
Damn it. Like, well,
enough with the paperwork, right?
I mean, allegedly, they came to my mailbox. So I'm right there with you. I'm not going to go back to H&R Block and, you know, I already gave them $2,000 that I owed them in taxes this year. So I'm not going to go back and try to give them more money. If they come to me, I will pay it. But if not, I will. Maybe they will adjust next year. I'll pay it then.
Look, that's the thing. They find a way to get it. And that's always my argument. Like, if you guys know all of this, if I send it to you and you say, it's like a teacher, right? So I take my test and they go, okay, you got an 88. Well, I know the teacher knows. You're trying to see if I know. But it turns out the IRS, kind of the same. Like, you were 88% correct with how you filled this out. Here's 12%. I'm like, no, I don't want to do this, man.
Yeah, you're falling in that curve there where you're not in trouble and you're getting your money back. Once your money back, you're good, right? Yeah, like, why do you have to be perfect on it? And just quickly, if I can say, logoed pint glasses is what I like to take from a restaurant, right? So I got a nice collection at home of logoed pint glasses. And the food that I just don't get is mashed potatoes. People go, you know what, for mashed potatoes, and I'd rather have french fries or hash browns or something.
But okay, Here's the thing. I think the misnomer is that it's the mashed potatoes. The mashed potatoes are the vessel for all the crap you add to the mashed potatoes, right? Because if someone says, hey, we're doing potato skins. Cool, because I assume that you also have things that I put on top of the potato skins. How disappointed would you be if they're like, no, bro, there's no bacon, there's no chives, yeah, there's no cheese.
That's why, like, a good, man, baked potato is hard to beat. You never really think to order one.
No.
But every time I get one, I'm like, oh, man, baked potato.
I just think, though, if I'm in a spot where I'm going to order a baked potato, I generally go mashed potatoes over that.
I would take it over a baked potato, yeah. But then I add a bunch of crap to it.
Well, mashed potatoes, too, like, I love them. It's just, I don't know, you just don't get them a ton.
No, the season for mashed potatoes kind of passed.
Right, or you go get chicken.
Right, and they'll give you the KFC's side of mashed potatoes.
Right, we got mashed potatoes, but like, he's right. Generally, I feel like a restaurant, unless it's, I don't know, I feel like most bars, like, kind of, it's like burgers, fries, tots. Trying to, like, you have to have something specific on your menu that you'd have the mashed potatoes.
I don't know if you have mashed potatoes at the bar, so the one was one restaurant I worked at. We had them year round, but they were wasabi mashed potatoes.
All right,
they were good on their own, man. I mean, they were good. But literally, they were mashed potatoes we mixed wasabi with.
Or you could use horseradish, probably, and get the same
outcome. I guarantee you it was actually horseradish, not the actual wasabi, but for what passes for wasabi here. So, yeah.
Dude, my buddy James, man, he makes this thing called...
Oh, James. Is Burger James?
No, different James.
Okay.
This James, though, makes a thing called potato pie. And I think I talk about it every Thanksgiving. So he's got, like, mashed potatoes, but then he's Italian. So there's, like, chopped up salami in there.
Oh.
Like, cheese.
Oh.
I mean, it is unreal how good it is.
That sounds real.
That sounds very good. Yeah.
I think as far as not putting in a whole effort, I'm typically very clean. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to bathroom cleaning, toilets and tubs.
I get anal about that because it's gross.
I know, man, but
it's
I can see
the grossness.
So I have those little tabs in my toilet to keep the bowl clean.
Sure.
But if I clean my toilet, I just brush the inside. I don't wipe down the outside. If I clean the bathroom, I will do the tub. I will not do the tiles around it.
I don't know that I do the tiles much, yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, I can look at the tub.
And that's good enough for me. As long as the faucet's shiny, I'm like, all right, they'll never know, whoever's here.
I don't want to see the coal miner's ring in the bathtub.
Mine not. In my toilet, it turns pink.
What turns pink?
Well, if I haven't scrubbed it in a while. Like, I get a pink ring instead of like a...
Right, same thing in the tubs. A lot of tubs do. Like, sometimes it just depends. Like, sometimes I know people... Like, I have a friend, they are super clean and ain't, but I mean, I don't know if it's because it's an old house, but like, that ring just, it's like they can't get rid of it.
That ring's permanent. Mm-hmm. Nothing you can do.
Yeah.
The reason we ask, what do you never put 100% into, or you do half-assed? According to a lifestyle guru, the secret to happy life is to be half-hearted about everything, and he said you'd be better off if you only put 50% of effort into things you do all day long. typically, Lena, whose surname is only half a real moniker, ended up penning 9 chapters instead of her planned 18. But she defended publishing just 50% of her thoughts by saying she had edited them down to the best ones, making the book better. She said trying to do things too hard in a job only brought more worry, responsibility, and stress. It's about accepting that shortcuts are okay as long as we think why we're doing them. She questioned why anyone should give 100% doing anything. In pursuit of what?
She's probably great in bed.
Well, I think it depends
on... It would have been better, but you got 50%.
I think it depends on what you're into.
You know? Yeah, yeah. Random. Hello, Wendell. Welcome to the men's room. Random.
Hola.
Wendell, welcome to the program and the random question. This one should be good for you, Wendell. How has your name caused an issue? How has your name caused an issue?
Well, when I was a kid, I was named after my dad.
I was going to say, you had to be named after someone in the family. Just, nothing against the name Wendell, but I can think of the chef from Cinnamon Toast Crunch, some historical figures, and that's about it.
Right? Well, remember that song came out, right?
Wendell?
Mr. Wendell?
Yes.
Was that Arrested Development?
I think so.
Wendell.
Yeah, that's really the only time I know that name used in popular reference.
Mm-hmm.
Is Arrested Development, the Tennessee band. Yeah.
It caused an issue when I was a kid that whenever, you know, being a rambunctious young man, I would be running around and getting into trouble, and my mom would yell at me, you know, at the highest pitch of her voice, "Wendell!" And then, of course, my dad would think she's yelling at him, and so they would both, you know, kick my ass for doing whatever I was doing.
So your dad was more angry that he had to worry about whether or not he was in trouble with your mom than he was about the thing you were doing.
Pretty much.
That's the dad position on a lot of things. Like, hey, man, let me explain something to you. Dad, I'm really... No. I don't care what you did. I heard about what you did. Here's the thing. You got your mom pissed. Now she's in a bad mood. For the next hour, you've ruined my life. I don't care about what you did. Don't get caught, dummy.
Yeah. I'll tell you this, Wendell. You can remember this just based on the fact that it's not that your name is... It's just not as common anymore.
Right.
But when you're a kid... It seems like everybody, if they went to the beach on vacation or wherever it was, they had stuff with their name on it. And you could never find anything with miles on it. You could never find a license plate. You could never find a pen or a shirt or whatever it was. That was just not available. So everybody had their custom stuff with their names on them. And I'm sure, Wendell, you probably didn't find your name on a keychain or any of
those. A little mini license plate.
Yeah.
No. Anything that I had seen with the name Wendell on it, it was automatically my dad's.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, my thing was, like, Steven is a fairly common name. The problem is so many people spell it wrong with the PH. Everything would be Steven. And I'm like, you have to have a Steven with a V. That's how it's actually spelled. Right. Nope.
I'm in the Miles Club. So if you're Miles, I like it. You know, for whatever, it's the stupidest thing in the world. Okay, like Miles Garrett, right? I'm like, he's a badass. He spells it with a Y, but I'm like, yeah, man, you're Miles. That's cool. Where you...
But that's not the same Miles.
Well, it's not spelled the same, but I still bring you into the club.
See, I can't do it. I met Steven the other day at the watering hole. He goes, hey, man, I'm surprised I don't see you in here more. I live 2 minutes away, so we talked for a minute. What's your name, man? He goes, Steven. You spell the V or PH. It's like, V. I'm like, all right, my man.
All right. You've had two situations since I've known you. One was like a porn star.
Stephen Hill.
That either murdered somebody.
He got, I think he was strung out on drugs or something, but he murdered... Two of his roommates. I lived in Hollywood because they all shot porn, but I don't know what his snap was, but he ended up stabbing, I believe, both of his roommates. The cops chasing down. He ended up at the Hollywood Hill sign and ended up killing himself, like jumped off the sign.
Right. Then there was the Stephen Hill who was drafted in the first round by the New York Jets. Yep. He couldn't catch a cold.
Nah, he was terrible.
And then there's the Stephen Hill at Ramstein Air Force Base.
And I do not know what this guy did.
That's your full name.
I know. And none of them are great. Like the Jets guy, I'm like, all right, man, I'm not a fan of the Jets because why would you bother?
But you're going to be a fan of somebody with your name.
But he sucked. So I'm like, okay, cool. The other guy, Stephen Hill, right. Okay, porn star. All right. Oh, what did he do? Oh, he killed people. Okay. And then the last one, most recently for me, Stephen Hill at Ramstein Air Force Base. Military won't even tell me what this guy did, but it is bad enough that if my ass ever ends up there, I'm in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Reese, we asked, how has your name caused an issue? This is a strange one.
Oh, by the way, someone here says, you never find stuff with Tyrone on it either. White Tyrone's even worse. Yeah, brother, that's a whole world we can't even imagine.
It just depends on where you are. In the Atlantic
Airport? White Tyrone?
Yes. Oh, White Tyrone. Well, Tyrone's Tyrone. It doesn't matter.
It is, but you know.
What's your name?
I knew one.
You know a White Tyrone?
Oh, yeah. He was one of my scout leaders.
The hell out of here.
Huh. Oh, yeah. He was a badass, too. I loved him.
I used to coach with a White Leroy.
White Leroy.
I used to have a listener.
Yeah,
we called him White Leroy. Mm-hmm. Now, he called himself that.
Yeah, because I'm Leroy, but I'm
white. No, I do think if you grew up where I grew up, you'd have a better chance of finding it. Like,
you could find a lot of things, I think, where you grew up.
Yeah, but I mean, we went to PG Plaza. All the Santas were black.
Your name is DeBrickishaw. We got a license plate for you. Right. Your name is Darius. We got a license plate for you, man. Don't you bother, brother. We got it. Oh, your name's Jeff. Yeah. Hey, man, that's special order 3 weeks.
We got Jeffrey.
Yeah, we got Jeffrey. Yeah. We don't have just Jeff.
You don't get Bill. You get
with
Bill.
The GEO Jeffrey.
Yeah. We don't have Bill. We have William. Mm-hmm. We do not have Robbie. We have Robert. There is no Bob.
Yep. How has your name caused an issue? Null, they say, is a term used in computer systems around the world to indicate no value. Now, that's not the same as the number zero, mind you. It's more like telling the computer there's nothing to see here.
Mm-hmm.
So in a field for someone's phone number, for an example, a null there would mean that no number has been entered.
Hence, null and void.
Yeah. For those of a certain surname, this creates quite the headache. Just ask one Nantra Null, who took the name after marrying, and she recalls how she repeatedly applied for a visa. at the Indian consulate to attend a friend's wedding in the country. And each time they got back, authorities said their computer system could not process her application. She said, I had to mentally come to terms with not being able to go. She's 41 years old. She lives in Burbank, California. Luckily, the visa did come through the day before her flight. And they say it's a struggle shared by many, including one unfortunate tech journalist, Jan Null, who is a 75-year-old meteorologist. She told the Wall Street Journal, or he did, that he now adds his first initial to his last name when making hotel reservations online. He learned his lesson the hard way years ago when a reservation form kept resetting whenever he entered his last name. So eventually he called the hotel, who suggested entering just a different last name. Meanwhile, a 36-year-old security auditor, Joseph Tartaro, says that for years, he's been flooded with random traffic tickets from across the country ever since getting a license plate that reads, you guessed it, null. My wife gets super pissed off about it, and she hates that I still have the license plate.
Why does he get the tickets?
Because maybe, for whatever reason.
Like the speed camera?
Or they don't have a license plate. So the officer says null on the form.
They
got
pulled
over. Maybe they had a fake plate. Maybe they did not have a plate, an expired temporary plate, whatever the deal is. Null, in its current usage, they say, was invented by a British computer scientist. It's still used by a number of programming languages, including Java and a couple others. It's a difficult problem to solve because it's so widespread. To be clear, though, it's decreasing in its prevalency, but still, based on the fact that it's not that common of a name. Nowadays, there's no shortage of software out there that's totally null-free. But trying to get everybody to upgrade their computer systems is not easy. So it depends on where you're booking, what online sites you use, and how they read null.
Didn't you say, was it the dentist's office or the doctor's office or something?
Dentist's office. I was going to get my wisdom teeth out. This is back in Maryland. So I walk in. I'm the white guy. And then, right, you know, I put my name in or whatever. And then the nurse comes out and she's like, Mr. Smith. And all three of us stand up. She goes, Edward. And I'm like, all right. So we all kind of laugh, right? Everybody. And then we walk in there and he's like, Mr. Smith, I'm Dr. Smith.
Jesus.
God. Right. But I was the only one representing my side of the family.
I'm going to Dr. Smith right now.
You should have just written White Smith.
Yeah. You, yeah, sir. White Smith. Yeah, he's in here. Like, how do we know? You know what I mean? Like, how do we know if he's out there? It's like, wow.
He's the white guy. Hello, Mike. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Mike, welcome to the program. Random question. Let's go with this one. What do you say has been your worst interaction with either a bug or an animal? A bug or an animal? What has been your worst interaction?
Oh, God. So, this was back in Oklahoma, and we encountered a rabbit raccoon. So, they have this little park set up below the mountain. We go try to have a picnic, and this raccoon is just, like, trying to attack us. So, we go 150 feet up to the next park, or to the next bench, and he follows us. I'm like, this SOB, man, he's crazy. We go to the next one, and he still follows us. So, and, you know, we had to get out of there. And it was like, okay, not messing with this thing.
How did you know it was rabid? Was it foaming at the mouth, or just was it acting all crazy, or what?
I mean, it just, I mean, I've been around several raccoons. It was so aggressive that, you know, I'm assuming it was a rabbit.
Okay, all right. Because I got a squirrel, man, I'm trying to make friends with in front of my house, and he gets crazy. Sometimes he just does that thing where his tail's moving a million miles an hour,
yeah,
and he's just doing this weird dance. I mean, he's weird, like you know, the middle-of-the-road dance, but he's just doing it on the sidewalk or in the tree or wherever he's doing it, man. He's crazy.
He might just be twitchy.
And I'm wondering, like, is that guy rabbit or is he just nuts? Because when he is awake, which is few and far between,
sure,
damn thing's going nuts. The reason we asked, what was your worst interaction with a bug or animal? We'll start with this one. A pilot had a memorable flight between Germany and Spain. He was bitten by a tarantula while flying the plane in the cockpit. The mid-air drama occurred this past Friday afternoon on an Iberia Airbus A320 flying between Dusseldorf in Germany and Madrid. Now, the plane's journey was delayed so it could be fumigated, and the pilot, who happens to be allergic to spiders, was treated with anti-inflammatory medicine.
Do they fumigate the plane
To me, if you say, hey, we're going to fumigate it, are you suggesting there are more tarantulas on this plane?
There could be.
Yep.
The spider is thought to have got on the plane during a stopover in Casablanca. So they thought maybe more.
Ah, not so romantic now.
Ah, see you again, kid.
Yes.
Yeah, look at me. I'm a spider now.
Now, after the onboard drama, passengers waited for hours to reboard the plane before it left. Iberia Airlines said the pilot is doing fine after receiving treatment in Madrid. And after leaving Casablanca to return to Madrid on Tuesday, the plane touched down in other cities, including Brussels, Zurich, and Toulouse. So they said some passengers still checked their surroundings for fear other spiders had gotten on the plane, even after the fumigation.
If you told me that tarantulas in particular, like, I would definitely be one of those passengers. Or, like, can I rebook? I'm just, because listen, if a tarantula ends up on my body on this flight, I'm just, nothing good is going to happen.
Well, I've got the heebie-jeebies the entire doggone flight.
Look, it's one thing to be in the cargo hold. I can see that happening.
Sure.
It's another thing to be in the cockpit. That's what I can't figure out. So, technically, one of those pilots had to bring that tarantula in a carry-on, in his bag, on his back, somehow. Because...
Or to just ran down the speed, skyway, whatever they call that little thing. I mean, I don't know, man. But somehow it got
you would see a tarantula walk into the cockpit door. I mean,
you would think so. But I'd also think you would see a tarantula on your carry-on. Because there's no way it's in your carry-on.
It could be.
I don't know. Okay, then when I open my carry-on again, I would like you to think.
Still get unzip the
bag. Tarantula, yeah. Right.
And we stay in the friendly skies for maintenance workers that have been frantically trying to round up rodents since last Tuesday, before they hopefully will not chew through a plane's wiring. And despite photos emerging of some of the caught rodents, 16 are still on the loose. And this happened in Portugal. Baggage handlers reportedly found that the cages had been damaged. And 132 hamsters were roaming around the cargo hold when the Airbus touched down in the archipelago Miguel Island. Maintenance workers began searching the plane after passengers disembarked and their luggage was removed. The hamsters were reportedly part of a delivery for a pet shop on the island, which also included some other things that got loose, like ferrets and some birds. Since the mass breakout, the aircraft has been unable to return to Lisbon, where it had started its journey, and the search for the remaining rodents continued up until last night. Sources told the paper the animals had been accepted on the flight after being turned away from an earlier one because the cages didn't meet accepted standards. Apparently, they were right. Air Portugal, the airline operating the flight, has yet to make any official comment. The rodent's front teeth, said to be the hardest than lead, harder than lead, aluminum, iron, and copper, have been continually worn down and kept sharp, which is why they're continuously gnawing.
Good God, man.
The grinding action of chewing on toys, hay, and other food items causes the teeth to stay at an ideal length in normal situations, but many need to have their teeth manually cut regularly due to health and genetic factors. I never would think that I need to take my hamster to the dentist.
You got buck tooth hamster, man.
Yeah, man.
Still to come, your guess is as good as mine. Our categories today, we have the top 10 world languages and the worst drivers on the road. And we've got your emails coming up next to the men's room at KISW.com.